Fashion.
Turn to the left.
Fashion.
Turn to the right.
Ooh, fashion.
Fashion.
You're listening to Fashion on 95BFM with Penelope Noir.
Yes.
Morena Penny.
Morena, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good.
I'm good, thank you.
Yeah,
we're talking sewing machines today. This is super exciting. We realised that we actually both have a Bernina. We're proud Bernina owners.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Millie's is a lot newer than mine. Mine's like an old one.
Yeah.
I think probably from the 60s. My grandma used to own a fabric sewing shop in Bulls. Big ups.
Yeah, Bulls.
One of two. Called Just Jane's. And she was the most amazing sewer. And she had maybe a million sewing machines, and then made all of us lots of clothes and such.
Wicked.
But so somewhere in my blood is a sewing gene, but I haven't found it yet.
That's really cool. I think my first one was like one that I inherited that was like a Singer sewing machine, which yep. we probably will talk the most about. But I did have a Bernina, and it had an overlocker on one side and the sewing machine on the other, and it was like really cool.
Because, cutting edge.
Yeah. I did look up Bernina, and the most expensive one you can buy at the moment is $26,000.
You're joking. $26,000. No. Oh, my.
Like, crazy.
You know, like for a home one, if you're looking, you know, at Bernina kind of like stores and stuff like that, but they kind of started around $4,000, which is like, I don't know. I just feel like years ago they were about $500, and that was, I guess, expensive then, but now it just seems like, wow. But what's quite interesting about sewing machines is that they were the first kind of machine of any sort that entered the home. Mm. And they kind of appeared in about 1850, the proper ones, and it was regarded as kind of like a miracle of its age. And, you know, because before its invention, you know, mostly women were sewing during the daylight hours, clothing for themselves and their families. And they also made up a lot of the labour in factories for sewing and weaving fabrics. And, of course, in Great Britain, which was, like, the first kind of, like, society to move to industrialisation with hand production to machine production, it was kind of, like, really inevitable that a machine would get invented at some stage, you know?
Mm.
So the early concepts, there were kind of three patents for various inventions, the first of which was never built. The second one kind of primarily sewed leather and canvas. The third was a French tailor who patented the first kind of functional sewing machine, and he opened the first factory in France, and he won the contract to make uniforms for the army, but other tailors were so kind of jealous and worried that they'd be put out of a job that they burnt his factory down. So that was the end of that.
It's rebellious.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. And then we spoke about Walter Hunt last week, who invented the safety pin. He basically came up with the first kind of lock stitch machine, which is where, you know, what we have today, two threads, curved needle with an eye, and it goes through the, you know, the eye of the needle and down and under. Mm-hmm. He never patented it, as I mentioned last week, because he knew it would mean like unemployment for many people. So another US guy, he got another patent, but he spent years fighting off copyright infringements, never got financial backing, so it never kind of went ahead. But I think the one that we know the most is probably Isaac Merritt Singer, who in 1851, he improved on existing designs, patenting the first reliable home sewing machine, with, you know, with a treadle. So it was like foot pedal.
Mm-hmm.
And he also knew that it was expensive. So back then it was like $100, which is quite a lot of money. And so they allowed people to hire purchase. So, you know, so that you could buy it and pay it off. So you'd have it at home and pay it off while you were using it. And that's how so many got into homes, because they were so expensive.
Mm.
And of course, it was quite an aggressive advertising campaign. They also had this red S girl singer kind of logo, which is quite a well-known brand, and they were actually kind of like one of the first corporations to get formed because it was so massive.
Wow.
Like, they even had, like in 1967, they opened a factory in Glasgow because they knew the UK would be a big market, and they soon had to move to a bigger factory, and they had 7,000 employees making 13,000 machines. And then in 1911, at that factory, there was a massive strike and 10,000 workers walked out. It's known as the Singer Strike. And I think that it was kind of like the first time they came together in collective bargaining to kind of go back into the factory, which is kind of Singer also created the first electric sewing machine in 1889, the first electronic in 1975. But interesting, this is one thing I found really interesting. In the 1960s and 70s, Singer sponsored rock and roll concerts, including like Harum and stuff like that. And also in 1968, there was a show called Singer Presents Elvis, and we actually more commonly know it as the 68 Comeback Special.
No way. You're joking.
Yeah, crazy, eh?
Oh, my gosh. Because Elvis had some quite elaborate outfits. I can imagine there was a bit of tailoring involved with those. Capes and whatnot.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Must have been done on a Singer sewing machine.
Wow, so that's like, that's huge business for the time, right? Having that many employees, having that kind of set up as a corporation, a company, an advertising kind of giant. That's crazy for Singer.
Yeah, and they also had like buildings. Like, so one of the kind of co-owners early on, a guy whose his surname was Clark. I think it was Edward Clark. He actually bought a lot of property as well. And so in New York, there was the Singer Building, and it was the tallest building in the world at the time of its construction. There's also Singer House in St. Petersburg. So it was like such a massive company. It was just crazy. So the Singer Building was built in 1908 in New York, and it was 47 stories.
Wow.
So it was pretty massive. And as recently as 2018, there was a factory, distribution centre and factory in Sydney, and there was a fire that burnt it down because they had a factory there since 1959. So it was like really, really worldwide and really influential.
Yeah, it is sort of crazy. I mean, I guess it'd be interesting to sort of compare and contrast a little bit the role, like the success and the scale of these sort of massive enterprises during what was probably like a peak time for sewing machines, you know, like post-war, mid-20th century, everyone sort of starting to like do a lot more stuff at home themselves versus now with like the rise of fast fashion. Like, I don't know, I don't think I actually have all that many friends who know how to use a sewing machine or are as sort of accustomed to having that in the house and using it themselves as people would have back then.
Yeah, because also you're talking about a time when it was invented that women, you know, the majority of women didn't work. So they were at home and they had like more time to do the sewing. So that was, you know, homemaking was work, but you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And whereas like more and more women went into the workforce, so they didn't have as much time to make clothes. So they were purchasing them, you know? But during the wars, the Singer factories converted to munitions, I think.
Oh, wow.
Or like helping out the war effort.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they made aeroplane parts as well as grenades, rifle parts, and shoe horses. Horseshoes, sorry. Getting my words around the wrong way. So it's pretty crazy. But, it's kind of weird because I feel like lots of people probably have a sewing machine in a cupboard somewhere.
Yeah, you know? that's me. We've decided that collectively Rosetta and I are way too rip shit and bust for that stuff.
Yeah. But it's good for repairing stuff, I reckon.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Taking up hems.
Good to do the hems for us shorties. We've had some good texts from people with their sewing machine stories as well. Emma Gleason has her mum's old Bernina, which is nearly 50 years old. That's pretty impressive.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. We've also had someone who says that they were given a sewing machine for their 21st birthday in the 80s and their brothers got life insurance policies. Sign of the times.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And somebody else who was a young boy growing up in a very rugby macho family whose father was mortified when they got into altering their op shop scores.
Oh, but that's so cool.
It is very cool. That's sort of like an act of rebellion, eh?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
For sure.
And even I think now for people to choose to, you know, prioritize buying from the op shops and repairing stuff at home, get into using their sewing machines, take up the hems or, you know, fix up rips and stuff rather than, you know, succumbing to capitalist fast fashion. That's an act of resistance as well, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's really important to try and mend and keep your clothes, like, you know, as long as possible.
Well, true. And you also have more say in what materials you're using. You know, you can be using organic cotton. You can, you know, be avoiding those dyes that harm the environment and things like that. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And when you're patching things, you know, there's so many kind of tutorials that can teach you to patch them in a really cool way so it doesn't look so obvious. And, or if you want to make it obvious, it still looks cool, you know?
Mm. Yeah. Ah, fascinating. Well, we've got a song. I think one is quite good for Millie, who needs to rest her voice and maybe spend a little bit more time sewing. So we're going to listen to Less Chat, More Sewing from Street Chant. thank you so much, Penny, for another great fashion. Hope you have an awesome week, and we'll catch up with you very soon.
Great, thanks. Bye.
Thanks, Penny. Bye.
Thank you.
Fashion on 95BFM with Penelope Noir.
We are the Goon Squad and we're coming to town. Beep, beep.
Beep, beep.